Wait, are you are you gonna count me in? Whatever, I'm just gonna go for it.
Welcome to the Queen's Lead Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Singleton. And as a child of the 80s, I'd love to say queens rule, but they don't. Queens lead. Being a queen means you are worthy to be a leader of people. The guests on our show do exactly that. They are leading the way in their businesses, families, and communities. And they're taking their rightful place in the spotlight, leading and inspiring the developing queens in all of us. Welcome to the Queens Lead Podcast.
Now here's your host, Amy Singleton, the queen of realness, leading conversations about business, life, and the real shit you want to know.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Queen's Lead Podcast. Today, we are joined by the Queen of Trash, Denise Sparks. She's coming directly to us from Illinois. Welcome, Denise.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Denise is an entrepreneur of over 30 years and has grown her junk removal company from a tiny seedling into what it is today. Denise, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Denise Sparks, and I live in Alton, Illinois, and we are just a pebble throw across the river, Mississippi River, I should say, into St. Louis, Missouri. So we cover not just three counties where I have my business, but we also drive over to some counties in St. Louis.
Wow. I bet that complicates things a little bit.
Well, not really, because we're so close to everything. And I started my business actually in 1993. I started out of an office, little bitty 10 by 12 office out of my home. I bought a ChemDry carpet cleaning franchise.
Okay.
And once that franchise grew, we got into fire, water, smoke damage, mold remediation, and so forth. And I tend to look, those businesses, I was hauling away junk then. Now it just has a professional term, junk removal. It was the same back then. But I follow the industry, and you know, back in the 2000s when the real estate had the fallout, I kind of veered over into that industry and began doing more of the estate cleanouts. People that are buying and selling homes, we were known as the compassionate hoarder cleaners. You know, and hence, I just kept growing. So here we are today in May, it'll be 31 years.
Wow. And are you still doing all of those previous things with like the ChemDry thing?
No, I did it for 18 years. And then, like I said, we branched out and we strictly do junk removal now. We do demolition. We do a lot of interior demolitions that people don't really know about, of kitchen and bathrooms. We also do dumpster rental. And now my big baby that I'm nurturing that we started last April is weekly trash pickup service.
Wow. And now tell me about that, because I didn't know that people had a choice. I just thought that the city had to do that.
There are cities that sign contracts with your big corporate trash, I don't want to name any names, but companies. Okay. Right. And those contracts usually last for about 5 years. But we had a family owned local trash company that everybody loved. It started with mom and, well, it actually started with grandpa, then dad, then the sons took over. And they recently, last June, sold to a big boy. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
They're gone. So myself, I am the only female independent contractor that goes into the landfill with my dump trailers and dumps them. And so a lot of those drivers from that family owned business would stop me on the road and they would say, Denise, you need to jump on this now. Now is the time to get into this. So not last November of 23, but early in the beginning of the year of 23, I had pursued that avenue. Well, of course, the big boy came after me. I thought he was going to, and went through my Facebook of 2 years and was telling me I couldn't advertise, and we were partners. And I said, no, we're not partners. I own my own business, and I should be able to add any service onto my existing business that I wish to.
Yeah.
So after a couple of legal attorney letters, they have left me alone. And hence, in April of 23, I would get up with one of my guys and start this route at 4 o'clock in the morning, go into unincorporated areas that have no contracts. Okay.
Oh.
So at that point, building it from one town to another town to another town, in November of 23, we purchased our first rear loader, brand new trash truck. Nice. And hence we have routes instead of every Friday. We have routes now Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. We have a full-time trash truck drivers, and I'm going to continue to expand on that. It's awesome because you not only do you do junk removal for your current existing clientele, but now they want you to pick up their weekly trash. And then number three, they want you to pick up their bulk pickups.
Yeah.
And they're also renting a dumpster once in a while. So, you know, it's awesome. I love what I do.
Wow. Cleaning up people's lives one way at a time. And any which way you've got a mess, Denise is the lady that can take care of it for you.
So we've got a great crew. We've got Sparks has got a great team. We're like a small family.
I'm so curious to know how you've grown this team of people. What does it take to run a business?
It can be very stressful. And in this day and age, unfortunately, the era that I was raised in, you worked for everything that you wanted. The kids today in this new generation, they don't want to work.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to find those that have the same work ethic that I was brought up with.
Yeah, definitely. Things are definitely changing. So how many people are on that team?
Well, we have six. We bring in some part-time when we have big trash outs. But the young lady that I brought in, I would say maybe 4 months ago now, my assistant, she used to work for this small family company.
Oh, how nice.
Then she went to the big boy company.
Big guys, yeah. Got now that whole experience.
Now she's with me. So Mindy is a great asset for me because, number one, she was already familiar with the weekly trash side of it, okay?
Yeah.
And number two, she handles that, and I continue to handle the junk removal side, the dumpster rental side, and bringing in new clients. She's great with the customers. So it's a win-win for both of us, for all of us, actually.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, and to do everything you're doing with a team of six sounds like you guys are really keeping it lean and keeping it efficient to serve your customers with the best possible. So what did things look like early on? I know you had the franchise, and so that comes with some systems and processes and tools and things for you probably, but we're talking about a really long time ago. So how has the business changed from when you first started going, rolling up to people's, you know, houses to clean out a shed to what it is today?
I would have to tell you that back in 93, when I started my business, everybody wanted to work. They knew how to work. Everybody was beating my door down, and I've really been blessed, and I'm very thankful for all the experiences that I have had in life, because when I left my bedroom, I bought a building, 5,000 square feet. The buildings next to me were four buildings, all attached. I bought those buildings. So we grew from two to three people in my office. I had 35 employees working for me. I had four inside sales reps handling insurance. I had four outside selling. We had human, I mean, I had the whole gamut.
Yeah.
Because we were doing a lot of rehabbing. People would have a home fire. My guys would go in and put everything back. Mm-hmm. But I was 35 then. You know, yeah. I was young. I had all that energy. And I think COVID just did a number on our workforce. Yeah. It changed the whole aspect of how everybody thinks a job should be.
Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely opened people's eyes to some of the options that they have. And it's forced us as business owners to really, you know, offer a place that they want to come and work. We can't just expect people to, like you said, back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, people just went. Like that was just like it was just a trade for dollars. You know, I went and I did this thing I hated to get this paycheck that I needed. But today, I mean, people want to come in and work with great people like you and be on a team where they feel valued and where they feel like they're actually doing something to help another person, don't you think?
Well, I do believe that. And right before we got into this podcast, there was a young man that worked for me he always stood out to me, and he was always a leader in my business when I had the restoration division, because when the mold remediation came into play, I mean, come on, we all grew up and we had mold on our showers and we wiped it off. But now all of a sudden, mold was, oh my gosh, it's going to kill you. You're going to be disabled from it, blah, blah, blah. So we all had to get certified. But this young man sent me an email this morning, and we won four awards this last year. It's 30 years, and thank you. And his company, he's in construction. He won probably six, okay? And he told me this morning, he said, Denise, I have always tried to model my business after what you do. I mean, that like really got me, because nobody's
That's
ever said that to me.
Clean stuff right there. Look at you, Denise.
I love that.
Oh my gosh. What an example you set for that man.
That's and so I told incredible. Him, I said, you know, LOL, I'm glad that, you know, I taught somebody something, but he's very successful, and I love seeing that. You know, he's mid 40s, and he's doing very well. So good
what
for
do
him.
What those things are that what are the core things that are different about the way you run your business?
I run a tight ship, and I believe in respect. Mm-hmm. I believe that you have to give respect in order to earn respect. I believe in hard work, and everybody will tell you, I will never ask an employee to do anything that I haven't done. And I can tell you some yucky things I have done.
Yeah, you should definitely get on dirty jobs, like, right? Mr. Rowe needs to be at your place.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a clean job.
No, it's not. It's not. And, you know, I've pulled back the reins a bit. I have my lead man that works for me, actually. I'm going to give him a shout out as well, because I met him almost 5.5 years ago. He was my handyman. A friend introduced me to him. He was doing things around my house. Yeah. And I said, hey, are you interested?
Yeah.
So I say he's a mini me, because now I can send him out with a crew, and he does it the Denise way.
Yeah.
And all my guys, they take care of my customers. And yeah, I've had I need to come back a little bit, and I can't go to every single job, because I want to go out and sell every single job.
That's right. You do have a business to run. Eventually you have to turn over the reins, but that's so hard when you're a control freak. Like, I assume you are just as much as I am. Like, you want it done right? You said the Denise way. Like, there's a certain level of expectation and excellence that you have set, that it's really hard to let go of that baby when you start to delegate in your business.
Well, and I always say I wouldn't be in business almost 31 years if I weren't doing something right.
Right, for sure. What was the first thing, what were some of those first things that you did delegate when you started to grow your business?
I would say putting my employees in a position of face-to-face with my customers, seeing how they do an interaction with my customers, seeing how they talk to them, seeing how, if there's a difficult situation, how are they going to fix that without me there? But I will tell you, they text me. We're big texter. I'm a big texter. If there's a question, say I've gone out to a job site and I take a picture, take several pictures. I send the photo links to my crew prior. And I say, when you get to this job site, if anything is different than what you see in my photographs, they know that they have to get a hold of me. Because, you know, sometimes people will throw in a whole bunch of stuff after you leave, which changes the dynamics and the cost of the job.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
We all have great communication, and they know that I, and I'm saying this very politely, that I demand that.
Yeah. I mean, without talking to one another, you don't know what's going on. Being afraid to ask or thinking you know something you don't know can be very dangerous, even, you know, in any kind of job.
Exactly. And I always tell them, I'm always open to suggestions. For me, my thing is, I have always told these guys and gals, I want to make, think smarter. Don't use your back, use your brain. And I try and give them every tool that's available out there of the trade so that they can be more efficient and that it's less wary on their physical being. So, you know, because think about it, we have different climates and temperatures that we have to work in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we're recording this, it's like single digits.
Bless them, they're working today. And they're not complaining, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of the obstacles that you've had in these 30 years? What's been some of the hardest stuff in this road of business?
I think this one will probably, you've never heard before, after it happened to me. And I like to share this story because there's a lot of meaning for it behind me.
Yeah.
When I had my business and we had grown so big back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I had always kids from high school, junior high, hey, Denise, can we come on the truck with you after school? You know, can we make, you know, a few bucks work? And I would always do that.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a family and I brought the son in. Once he got out of school, I brought him in to my office, and I'm going to make a very sad long story short. He had always said, I want to be you. I want to be you. And I thought that was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so come to find out, you know, we didn't have the technology of cybersecurity in the very beginning. He was tapping into our computer system at work and copying all of my customers and went out and purchased the last carpet cleaning franchise in my county.
Oh, wow.
And so we had brought our accountant in, the banker in, and the local police in to find out. But like I said, back then they didn't have cybersecurity, so to speak. So it was very difficult to prove a lot of things, but it really, unfortunately, makes you very leery moving forward. So I've always been very careful. And I'm the youngest of five girls. So my mother raised very strong women. And we've always worked very hard. And my mom said, when this happened, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. and you will figure out a way to fix the broken wheel. And I did. And here we are.
I love it. Yeah.
That's a very long story short. Yep.
Oh, not too long. That's great. I mean, but that really does, I mean, that leaves a lasting impression on someone, you know, someone that you were trying to help when they take advantage of you like that. It's so hard to trust again.
Yep, it sure is. And you know what? He didn't last in business.
Of course.
Not very long at all. Maybe not even a year.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is you have to be very careful in business about who you trust.
Yeah.
And who you give authority to.
Yeah.
And I have always shared this. My team knows about this because I don't want anybody to ever feel like it's not that I don't respect them or don't trust them. I just am very cautious.
Yeah, it's good to know where people are coming from so that they don't think you just distrust them. You're like, this is just a general distrust of people. No, I totally get it. What, you know, being in the industry that you're in is no different for me. Marketers are so heavily predominated by men.
Oh, I can imagine.
Same in the trades. My husband and I have also owned some home service trade companies over the years. And definitely we are a minority when it comes to that. What do you see that sets you really apart in your industry and as just as a leader in general?
Well, the big thing, even though we're in 2024, is unfortunately, to a certain degree, we are still the minority because what you do is still considered, you know, a man's world.
Yeah.
But I have to say that outside of the big boy with the trash issue, I have to say that I'm very, very fortunate because I don't have any issues. When this issue with the big boy trash company, my very first customer on my trash route, a man pulled me aside and he said, Denise, I'm going to tell you something. Do you remember in the 70s, the women that paved the way for you to make things better for you? He said, you are not going to give up this fight. You're going to continue this fight because you have so many young women that you have to prove to. Yeah. There's the queen.
There's the crown. There it is. That's what I'm talking about. They burned their brows for us.
That's right. That's right.
Right. That's right.
We are tough queens. And they just know that I'm not going to back down. The more you tell me I'm not going to do something, the more it's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. But have you been led by some men in your former jobs that really helped you to develop your leadership style in maybe a little different way?
I would have to say that there is a local real estate agent. It's family owned.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his twin brother both took me under their wing. And to this day, as we speak, because I'm in the process of buying my property.
Nice.
They have always mentored me. They have always been there for me. And I can't say enough about the respect that I have for these two guys. So, great. Yeah, those two men I have. Absolutely.
So you mentioned your warehouse, 5,000 square feet.
I have 3,000 square feet in the warehouse. I have 2,000 square feet, our office. And in the middle of our, I would call it our showroom out here, we have a lot of furniture because Sparks Junk Removal and Hauling is very eco-friendly. I believe that we recycle first, meaning any scrap metal we find, we recycle, we donate, we repurpose, we give back to the community, we sell at a very affordable price to people. I have connections with a lady that is involved with 22 nonprofit organizations.
Yeah.
So if we have something that I know is needed, we've had pastors come here and load up their box trailers that we've given away for people that are homeless, that they are trying to place into their own living facility.
Wow. Well, there's the magical story about Sparks. There it is. That's that lean-in story I was looking for. I love this.
We have.
I was thinking, like, what do you need with 5,000 square feet of space when you take everything to the dump? But now I know.
Oh, no.
I love it.
We take it. We have it all over the place. And, you know, we have a, right where I'm located is our main thoroughfare through uptown and our downtown, because we're in a river town.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of homeless people. I have never seen such a huge influx as we have recently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's been so cold and everything, and they have opened a church as a warming center. So last Saturday, I called up the director and I said, hey, Tyler, he owns a local lawn service here. Mm-hmm. And I said, how many people are you expecting? So he told me. And he said, you know what? We have a local restaurant that's going to feed them, but our volunteers, Denise, normally don't get to partake in that. So we loaded up a bunch of pizzas and took them down there Saturday night in this crazy below zero weather and snowing. And, you know, it's all about giving back. You got to give back to your community and help people out that are less fortunate.
That's right. I mean, to me, that's the spirit of being an entrepreneur, is helping to move your community and the people in that community forward, right? I mean, we've been given a big responsibility, I feel like.
You betcha. You betcha. And people always say to me, when are you going to retire? Girl, I don't even want to spell that word. I don't think I could ever retire. My dad was 80 and still going.
Wow. So what's the plan? What are you looking forward to with Sparks? What's next?
Well, we just added two new services. Part of the trash removal business, you know, commercial buildings or businesses, they have dumpsters, right?
Yeah,
they have little 2-yard and 4-yard dumpsters. Mm-hmm. So last week, I just found a company in Missouri about 4 and a half hours away. And I bought 12 2-yard dumpsters. And as a matter of fact, I have a mobile welder that's putting new bottoms in them. And we're getting, the paint was delivered today. He's painting them purple.
Nice. I love it.
Those will be going out. And we also have implemented a drive-in service to where contractors who don't want to go pay the outrageous landfill rates for a truckload can come right into Sparks Warehouse and unload in a dumpster.
Wow. Now that, speaking from a contractor right here, we've owned a painting company. There's a lot of garbage that comes from remodeling a kitchen or painting a home. That is incredible. And being right there on the main thoroughfare, I'm assuming it's no different where you are. The landfill is kind of on the outskirts of town. You got to drive way.
Exactly. It's about 20 minutes away. And, you know, you got to drive through all the mud and the gunk and tear your truck up if you don't have 4-wheel drive. So, yeah, we've been getting people coming in here.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Just putting them on. Are you putting the contractors like on a monthly retainer, or is it just at pay as you come?
They just pay as they come.
I love it. Is this just a set fee for the size?
Generally, yeah. Yeah.
I love that. That's so smart.
We just don't want people bringing, they're not allowed to bring TVs, tires, concrete, things like that.
Heavy stuff.
Don't bring that heavy stuff. You're going to have to pay more.
Denise, was this an on-the-job injury?
This is.
Was it? Oh, God.
Yes. Well, what happened was I purchased a piece of equipment, a high-powered drill, and I took all the handles off the dump trailers so the guys didn't have to do this cranking all the time. So you put this patented piece on the end of this drill, and in 3 seconds, your hitch, your trailer's off.
Nice.
So it's supposed to be on a one, right? When one of my guys handed it to me to use, I didn't look, and it was on a 25. Hence, I almost did a flip and tore a tendon in my hand.
Bless your heart. Did you have to have surgery?
No, but I don't know yet, because they messed with it for 5 months and tried to tell me it was arthritis because I was old. So I made my primary care doctor get me an MRI. And guess what? When I went to the hand surgeon, I said, I've got the whipping post out for you, girl. So they put me in a longer splint, and it is much better.
That's good.
Find out my fate in another week.
Okay. Well, by the time this podcast comes out, hopefully you're doing cartwheels and all the kind of things with your hand.
Rock on. And I'm left-handed, so that's good.
Oh, okay, that's good. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I should have known you were a lefty. My husband's a lefty. I love lefties. They're my favorite. That's awesome. Denise, what else would you like to share with our audience? A lot of these women listening to this podcast are fairly new in business or thinking about exiting their 9-to-5 to go start their own business. Do you have any advice for those people?
Yes, I do. Follow your dreams. If you have any gut feeling about what you want to do, a business that you want to start, do it. You only get one life. That's what I believe. You only have an opportunity. I was lucky because I kind of had two opportunities, you know, between the 90s. And I feel like now I'm in my second life, really, because I've been given another opportunity to expand into something different. And I tell these women all the time, you can reach out to me. I'm available. Shoot me a text. Call me on the phone.
Yeah.
I'd be more than happy to share some of my stories with these ladies that want to jump into this business world, especially junk removal, because it is hard.
Yeah.
It is very hard. It's hard work.
Definitely.
I'm not going to lie. It's backbreaking. But it can be done.
It can be done. It can be profitable, and it can be purposeful. I mean, look at what a beautiful service you're bringing to your community. And because of the business you've built, the jobs you've provided, you're giving back to 22 nonprofits on the regular. I mean, what a beautiful, beautiful story.
Yeah, well, I have a great team. I can't take all the responsibility the responsibility of it. We all work together. And, you know, some days it's not all butterflies and roses, but we get through it. We make it happen. And the main thing is we make our people happy.
Yeah.
Your junk is my business. That's my tagline.
I love it. Your junk's my business. She is the queen. I love it so much, Denise. Thank you
queen
so much.
Junk.
If you guys are in the St. Louis and or the Illinois area, what main cities in Illinois are you at?
We cover Madison, Jersey, and St. Clair counties.
I'm
in Alton, Illinois, so we're a big river town. We're the scenic byway. We've got the Great River Road. We're on the map now. So
you are definitely on the map. By Statel, across Statel.
That's right.
And across, I apologize. I said the queen of trash at the beginning of this. She is the queen of
queen
junk.
Queen of junk.
Queen of junk. A very dirty job.
Flash trash now too.
That's right. She'll take it. You got it, and she'll take it. Go over to sparksjunkremoval.net if you want to learn more about Denise. Follow her on her socials. All of that will be linked down in the show notes. Denise, thank you for being my guest, and thank you for being
thank
a queen.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You too, the queen.
The Queen's Lead podcast is recorded worldwide and produced by the kick-ass media team at the Hype Digital home base in Nicaragua. Until our next episode, stay real, queens, and go lead. Remember to tap that follow and leave your review. For freebies and more real, inspiring content you love, go to amysingleton.net and connect with Amy on our socials at The Real Amy Singleton.
One more thing. This is the legal language. What my lawyer wrote and what I need to read to you. This podcast is presented for educational and entertainment purposes only. I am Amy Singleton, and I'm just your friend. Although I may speak to many on this show, I am not a psychotherapist, a business coach, a doctor, a CPA, a lawyer, or probably anyone who should be giving you professional advice. This podcast is not a substitute for a relationship with your doctor, coach, or any other licensed professional. Got it? Good. Now go be a queen and follow me at The Real Amy Singleton.